Sunday morning, 10, 17, 21. I'm trying to remember, this morning the Lord gave me the end of an old hymn. Anyway, I'll just start. I'll give you what he gave me before the broadcast. It doesn't matter where the situation you find yourself in today, Jesus paid it all. We live in an illusion. The only thing real is God's word and what Jesus has done. And if you'll get a hold of this, that's what's important about the people of faith, because they understand and they get it. They are the ones that can look in the face of sickness, can look in the face of debt, lack, want, whatever it may be, and say, no, the word says this, because Jesus took sin, he took the stripes on his back, and so what he did was whole and complete, and we don't need anything to add to it. But, you know, but it's unfortunate that men have decided to use or to look at symptoms, to look at feelings, to look at their natural surroundings to gauge what God has done. When men do that, they miss God. Just like the Pharisees missed their day when Jesus came. They'd been looking for the Messiah for a long time, and then they couldn't see him because they had they were into works. There were a few that discerned it by the Spirit, but that's what the Lord said to me. You don't ever have to be afraid of anything. And you can always know that I already did it, and I made a complete work. He didn't do a partial work that I have to go to the doctor. He didn't do a, and I'm not telling anybody not to go to the doctor. Just get what I'm saying here by the Spirit. This is the truth. The truth is, he's already healed you. Now, Satan comes with lies to try to convince you. See, we think, well, we're just trying to get the devil off our back. We're just trying to get the devil to leave us alone. We're just trying to get the devil to quit. We're just trying to get the devil to do this. Well, the truth of the matter is, Jesus already did everything. He spoiled principalities and powers. He gave us power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. And so the truth is, we're already whole and complete. It's the devil that should be on the defensive, not us. It's already finished. Jesus said, it's finished. I did it. I did it all. Nothing to be added to. I did it all. If man can believe me and take it by faith. See, the devil comes with his lies to convince you that what God's word says isn't true. He hasn't changed his tactics. So if you can get a hold of this and look at it this way, then it's going to disarm that other. We put so much stuff, oh, I feel, oh, I'm going through this, oh, this is happening to me. And that's what we gauge everything on right there, what's going on, our circumstances. When Jesus said, I've already ruled over the circumstances and told you, you can rule and reign with me. So in any and every situation, just like Jesus, when he was tempted of the devil, he won. He won. I wish I could think of that hymn. It was just the part of the hymn. I even looked it up this morning. All right, Lord, I need you to bring that back to me. Well, it was basically about he paid it all. He paid it all. There's nothing he left out that you have to seek outside help to get. And I mean that by anything that faces us, we ask the Father about it and let him instruct us on what to do. Maybe I'll think of it later. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. And the title of it is The Exodus Has Begun. And I want Danny to hear what I'm fixing to say right here. In 2022, only the best will come to you. The Lord says, I'm changing the landscape. Never forget that I'm doing this and nothing can stop what is coming. I'm snatching all the filthy lucre of the wicked and the greedy graspers of this world out. In other words, the tares are being separated from the wheat right now. This is that harvest all the Christians are talking about, and they think it's a big evangelism explosion of souls, but no, it's not. It's the separation from the tares from the wheat. I'm taking all their heaps that they have stockpiled for themselves, and I'm giving it to you and others like you. My people will no longer want. The wicked thought they could just eat, drink, and be merry and have a life of pleasure, but nay, I say, this very day are their lives being required of them. Remember the rich man that had his storehouses? That night his soul was required of him. Make no mistake about it, it is happening. It is not the end of the world, but the end of the world as you know it, going from dark to light. You're walking out of the system of darkness into the kingdom of light. Satan is no longer in control. I am. It will only be best from now on. Yes, the Exodus has begun. All those that had to walk away from their jobs because they took the stand against the new world order, well, it has been by divine design. Just like in the days of Moses, Pharaoh kept saying no until I hit him with the final blow and then the people were let go. This is not a bad thing. I'm having the righteous exit the system from where they have been accustomed, and I'm making a better way for them. I'm bringing my people out of the ungodly Antichrist system and into a new land. Yes, a brave new world. This is MAGA. But it will be worldwide. Remember all the slogans across the world like make Australia great again, make all the nations great again. I am the great God, and all I do is great. You're going to learn to live under great. I am the great God. This is blessing and not a curse. This is the great Exodus. So I thought about those that are thinking that their world has ended because they've had to walk away from their job, but God will honor those who took a stand. I'm not so sure about those who didn't, those who compromised, those that went ahead and took the so-called mark or whatever you want to call it. If you think about all over the world, there is, well, in this nation, well, now they can't do this because they didn't take the mark. And now in this nation, they can't do this because they didn't take the mark. Well, what does it say? They wouldn't be able to buy or sell or carry on their normal lives because they did not adhere to the mark of the beast. All these people, they're shouting out there, no, it ain't the time of the mark of the beast. What Bible are you reading? What planet are you from? Because it doesn't get any clearer than that. It's black and white, right in the book. They're the ones that'll be led like sheep to the slaughter, waiting for the rapture that never comes. What is that song, Lord? Ugh. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. What is the rest of it? I don't know, but it was good this morning before the show. Think about the show this morning. They got it right. What did I say on the show this morning? Every single thing that's coming down right now, I said on my lips this morning. And that was nearly a year ago. And it fit right in this morning. I'm thinking, now I know why the devil tried to stop it from going forward. I got a call this week, someone praying about the show and saying to me, just like Daniel prayed, and the demonic spirit stopped his prayer for 3 weeks. This lady said, I want you to know, God has heard your prayer. In other words, the answer's on the way. Now understand why the delay. Yeah, we're treading up some of Satan's territory. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want people in the Permian Basin hearing the truth. They're going to church and their preacher's saying, nah, ain't the time, nah. Well, for whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That's what the last days are all about, isn't it? Isn't that what Revelation starts out at? Let the churches hear what the Spirit's saying, not what so-called preachers are saying, because they've been blown about with every wind of doctrine. A church out of order. We'll get into that next. Okay. I'm going to continue. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut, and the title of this is Satan's Bread.
Satan's what?
Bread. B-R-E-A-D. Bread. The first Adam was tempted this way, thus to bring redemption. The second Adam was tempted this way with Satan's bread. Jesus, the second Adam, made a way for man to win and no longer lose out with God. All right, Genesis 3. Really in verse, chapter 2, verse 15. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Okay, then we look over here in chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see why she was deceived? She didn't know God's word. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. How can you tend it if you couldn't touch it? Tells you a lot, doesn't it? Somebody trying to do spiritual warfare and they don't even know the word. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. See, they died that day. And they heard the voice, spiritually they died, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God said unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she came, gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, we know what happened that day. Man was pushed out of the very paradise walking with God in the cool of the evening. You could say they walked by faith. They had to go. All right, with that, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 45. The rest of that hymn is, sin had left a crimson stain. Sin had left a crimson stain. something about his blood washed it white as snow. Okay. All right. 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a righteous, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, after that which is spiritual. So Jesus came as Adam to replace what Adam did. He took our place, in other words. All right, natural man cannot do it, but the spiritual man can. We can't whip the devil in our natural flesh. We just cannot do it. And that's the weapon he uses against us. But God's given us spiritual weapons to use against him. Okay? All right, this is what the Lord said to me. The Lord says, you have been missing the point, all of you. You have tried everything to get the pressure off of you, and when you do, you eat Satan's bread. Satan's bread is given into the flesh. When you try to do anything in the world to get it off of you, you eat Satan's bread. All right, we're going to look at the best example I know of, Luke chapter 4.
What was that?
Luke 4. Starting with verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is a good point. What you are experiencing is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. What you're experiencing is training. You're not experiencing sickness. You're not experiencing lack. You are experiencing training. Training. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a time. God had to know he could trust him because he knew the ministry Jesus had and what he had ahead of him after that. And that's why God says you're all missing it, because you're not looking at it right. You're just looking at these crappy circumstances that I'm in, and how in the world am I going to get out of it? I can't stand it anymore. That's what you're saying. I know, because I feel the same way. But it's not that at all. It's boot camp. It's learning to reign in life. It's training for reigning. That's why the Lord says in the days ahead, you're going to be so glad you stuck with it. And you learned the things I needed you to learn. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed him to all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Jesus would not eat Satan's bread. He was starving. He was starving. I mean, literally starving. I think it was probably to the point that his body would absolutely begin to eat itself. But he was doing what the Father told him to do. And he didn't listen to the devil. I'm sure it was excruciating. I think he probably let Jesus smelled the bread come out of his mom's oven. But he didn't take Satan's bread. If he had of, we'd all had to go back to square one, wouldn't we? Or we might have been lost forever. I don't know. All right. You are already complete in me, but Satan tempts you and tells you that it is not true. So you eat his bread or his fruit. You give in. You seek things instead of him. Whatever it might be, whatever place you find yourself in. See, the mind will start, he gets your mind to thinking on, well, maybe I should have done this, or, well, maybe I ought to try that, or, well, da-da-da. You know how he works. Remember what I said about Esau, that I hated him. Why did I hate him? He sacrificed long-term blessings for short-term satisfaction. You understand that? He was the firstborn. He was supposed to get the firstborn rights, but he sacrificed that for a bowl of beans. We're going to look at that. Genesis 25. God hated it. He hates the one that goes to the flesh. And we've all done it. 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Was Jesus faint? Yeah, he was. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Then thus Esau despised his birthright. It's like saying, walking by faith too hard. It's just too hard. I'm just going to go back to doing what I've been doing. I heard somebody say that just in the last week or two, and I had some words to say to him. I said, you don't want to know why we nearly lost our world? Because of that kind of sorry attitude. If Q don't do this or the president don't do that, I'm out of here. Really? Where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go. This is affecting every person. Whether you stand and fight or you don't, it's affecting every person. Whether you compromise and go with the way of the beast, it's affecting every single person on this earth, and you cannot escape it. Even those that don't want to know nothing, don't want to see nothing, don't want to hear nothing. It's affecting them. Pretty serious, isn't it? A very serious time. All right, Romans 9. You know what? When I hear that kind of stuff, I'd say, well, go on with your sorry old self. Who needs you? We don't need that. We need people to help us unite and to stand strong. We don't need people. We don't need a bunch of Pharisees running by. Go on to your own Pharisee club or wherever. I don't care. But don't ever look at me and say, why didn't you tell me? Because I've told you. Whoever you are. Romans 9:8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, that this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that he calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, and it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Talking about the children of faith and those who walk by the flesh. This is how you're missing it. You fail to see that you're in training. I said this to you a while ago, and you live from trial to trial just trying to get some relief. Your entire focus is on getting out from under it, and you forget that I'm standing there, and I'm overseeing your training, and I'm waiting wanting you to learn of me, like Sergeant.
I can't hear you.
Suck it up, soldier. That's what God is doing. And he's doing it for your good. He's trying to save your life. That's why he sent Joseph. It was to save his family's life. He went through all that hell. And he saved his posterity for generations. But he had to go through the training, and I know he went through a lot of hardship. I read the book of Jasher. It was unreal what he went through with Pharaoh's wife. She stalked him day and night, trying to seduce him. And he was thrown in jail for 10 years for doing nothing. But he didn't give in. And then after the training was over, one day, the jailer said, Pharaoh on the line. So he went and cleaned himself up and stood before Pharaoh, interpreted the dream. And Pharaoh actually made him is equal to himself. Made him chancellor of Egypt. What would have happened if he had just said, well, I just can't do this anymore? Go read the Faith Hall of Fame. All right, this is, let me get to the next page. This is the method that I've chosen for you. You know, I've said this before, I've been saying this for years from time to time. When we've done all we know to do and nothing seems to change, then you better recognize that God is standing there. It's like Balaam on the donkey sometimes where he kept whipping the donkey because she wouldn't go forward. She said, whoop. There's a big angel standing there with a sword. God's there overseeing what you're doing, and he's not going to let you go forward until you learn it. You understand? We need to look at it that way instead of, all this mess we go through, all this struggle we go through, night and day, day and night. I know what I'm talking about. Year after year after year after year after year after year after year. And you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. In your own jail, just like Joseph. But the one thing about Joseph, he had a good attitude in that jail. He saw someone down in the mouth and he'd stop and say, how can I help you? God's looking at your fruit. We see a lot of ugly fruit hanging around, don't we? I'm observing how you will perform under pressure, under temptation. This is training for reigning. It is not pleasant, but it is possible to walk through it by my grace. All your means and methods are just Satan's bread. All of you have been struggling. I want you to learn peace in the storm. When I see what I want to see and am satisfied that I can trust you under pressure to not eat Satan's bread or fruit, then I can remove it from you. You're also in your Exodus moment, leaving all that is fleshly and unproductive behind. Time to feast on my bread. We're going to see an example of that, Exodus 16. I'll tell you what, on the broadcast this morning, that word was so straightforward and strong, it was nerdy like, who is that person? I don't even know them. It just amazes me. God will even use a donkey to speak to the prophet. And they took their journey, verse 1, from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Appropriately named Sin. Oh, gosh. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. There's a lot of people eating from Egypt's flesh pots right now. Christians compromising. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Why did he do it? To prove them. Isn't this training for reigning? Why did Jesus go into the wilderness? To be proven. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day that they shall prepare that which they bring in. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, Then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what we are, that ye murmur against us. And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speaking unto them, saying, At even you shall eat flesh. In the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew they lay was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they said, Wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, or according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in the tents. The children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So in this very simple instruction, they couldn't even obey God. One little tiny instruction. They could not obey God. They did not obey God. We can't point our fingers at them, really, can we? And it came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. All the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today. Seed that ye will seed, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Laid it up to the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat this today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the Sabbath day. You think these simple things do not matter? They matter. It's those little foxes that spoil the vine. If you won't obey in a little thing, you won't obey in a big one. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. To do anything other than what the Lord says is Satan's bread. See, they were used to that system. And they were acting like that system. heaping up for themselves, trying to think, what am I going to do now? I need a job or whatever. Yeah, I need this, I need that. There those wheels start turning. Well, hath God said? Yeah, that's how it works. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and it lay before the Lord to be kept for your generations. Why? So you wouldn't eat Satan's bread. And as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. We're coming out of Egypt, folks. We're coming into a land of provision. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. All right. I've said to you that you're not far from finish, so take heart. I am in it with you. I said I would not let you fall or fail, so trust me. Instead of spending all your energies trying to get this off of you, you just might as well buckle down, learn what you need to learn. Because there's nothing wrong with you. Remember how I started this out? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. That's what happened. It's over. It's finished. It's done. It's absolutely true. That's why when the enemy comes with his lies, you have to choose to ignore it. I don't believe you. I already know what Jesus did for me. He paid it all. Because Satan brings lies to try to convince you. He's trying to deceive the whole world right now into believing him, to take us into his ultimate utopia for them. All right. I am with you just as I was with the three Hebrew children when they went into the fire, and Daniel in the lion's den, and Paul and Silas in the jail. Because of their faith and character, they prevailed. But did they go into the fire? Did they go in the lion's den? Did they go into the jail? Yeah, they did. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There's the problem. They're in the parable and lies. Your spirit's born again, but you got to save that soul. That's why the renewing of the mind process, it has to happen. It's all about your soul coming under the Spirit's control. And being able to do it with a good attitude. What is a good attitude? A good attitude is, okay, Lord, we're going to do it your way. No more caving into the flesh. So quit trying to save yourself. Trying this method and that. Let me save you. Time to rest. It will make the journey so much easier. If you'll take this to heart today, it'll help you. Okay, let's look at some more scriptures. Matthew 11. See, Satan brings a counterfeit. He brings a counterfeit to get you to take it. It's bait. Come unto me, all ye. This is verse 28. That labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Resist the temptation to go back to the vomit because things are tough for you. That's your old ways, your old solutions that didn't get you anywhere before. Why would you go back to them? That's what Peter talks about, the dog returning to the vomit. All right, feast on my bread, chew it and digest it. All right, a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't want Satan's bread, Lord. Today we want your bread. We don't want to live by the flesh because it doesn't profit anything. But your bread, we can know the truth and the truth will make us free. That's your bread. Okay, Matthew 4:4. I think that's the last. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Look for my provision, don't seek provision. Seek me. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Whatever you think you need, don't go seek those things on your own. Ask God about it. Let Him send provision. This Exodus is all about letting go of old mindsets and embracing new ones. That's what this journey is about. Psalms 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. It's like, and how appropriate the mission statement for this ministry is. Set my people free from the strongholds of their mind, just like Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm going to have you do the same thing. This is what this ministry is all about. That we actually make it into the land that we've been promised. Make it into faith land, whatever you want to call it. Kingdom ways, kingdom living. Okay, one more scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. All right. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Good words from someone that successfully ran his race. Okay. He did not succumb to Satan's bread. He learned to shake Satan and his bunch mess off and follow the Lord. Okay. I got something to read right quick. This is called the second Adam. This is why Jesus is called the second Adam. Both Jesus and Adam were special and unique creations. Adam was the dust of the ground. Jesus through a virgin birth. Both were under a covenant of obedience to the Father. Neither one had been contaminated by original sin, and both were tempted by the devil in the same way, invited to break their covenant of obedience. Adam's temptation was to eat the forbidden fruit, which he did. Jesus' temptation was to violate his agreement of obedience by using his divine nature. Let's look at that. As I said earlier, Jesus defeated the devil through the world's highest level power encounter, the temptation in the desert. The point that is so important for us to remember is that Jesus won this ferocious spiritual battle not because he was God, but through his human nature, a nature just like ours. Jesus could have used his divine nature and turned the bread into stones, and he could have called angels to save him if he jumped from the peak of the temple, but he didn't. He could have taken possession of Satan's kingdoms without worshiping Satan, but he didn't. If he had, he would have disobeyed the Father. The temptation ended. Jesus' covenant of obedience had remained intact, and the devil had been defeated. Afterward, all of Jesus' ministry was done as a human being. He depended entirely on knowing the will of the Father. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. He depended entirely on the power of the Holy Spirit. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He said, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. He judged only because the Father had delegated that authority to him. The only thing Jesus did that no human being can properly do was to receive worship, because Jesus was always God. He always could receive worship, which of course he did. So there you go. And there we go.